Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're looking at issues relating to the person of Jesus Christ, especially in reference to his humanity. In our study today, I want to focus on giving scriptural evidence that Jesus Christ was truly human and experienced all the different things that we experience as normal human beings. Now, the importance of this doctrine was stressed in the New Testament, because there were some in the time of the apostles, as the New Testament was being written, that rejected the humanity of Christ. Many tried to teach that Jesus Christ did not have a real human body, that God did not come in the flesh. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 is very clear on this subject, which reads, "By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world." Also in 2 John verse 7, which reads, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist." So this doctrine cannot be underestimated in Scripture. Here John says that you are an Antichrist or a deceiver if you deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And in our study today, I'll give you the evidences of the humanity of Christ, and then in our next study, we'll look at the importance of the humanity of Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 14, it's clear that God took on a human body, a body of flesh and bones like we have. And it reads this way, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Of God becoming flesh, theologians have given this the term the incarnation, which literally means to be in flesh, showing us that God took on a human body of flesh and dwelt among us. I'd like to offer you the scriptural proof of the real humanity of Jesus Christ. I'll mention a lot of scriptures which support this claim. First of all, point number one is that Jesus had a human body. And we could see this in the following references, that he had a body just like ours, proven by the fact that he got tired in John chapter 4, verse 6. He got thirsty in John chapter 19, verse 28. He got hungry in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. He got physically weak in Luke 23, verse 26. He died, Mark chapter 15, verse 37. And in his resurrection body, he had flesh and bones, according to Luke 24, 39. He also ate in this resurrection body in John chapter 20, verse 17. And he ascended to heaven in this body, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 9. So before and after his resurrection, his body was still a physical body. So it's very clear in Scripture that Jesus Christ experienced all the things that we experience, yet without sin. And so as you study about the life of Christ, don't lift his life up on a pedestal as if everything was easy for him, he wasn't touched by the difficulties, the day-to-day issues that we ourselves face, so he could sympathize with us as a great high priest. Now, one of the important passages in relationship to the humanity of Christ is Luke chapter 2, verse 51 and 52. Which reads, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart," and especially this verse, "and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." And this term increase means kept on increasing. So he grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God and men. So Jesus had a normal body that grew in intelligence as well as in the physical stature. So it was in a body exactly like ours. The second point is that Jesus had a human mind. And once again, Luke 2:52, that he increased in wisdom. So he had a mind like ours. We had to go to school. It had to be developed. It was exactly like our mind. Third, Jesus had a human soul with human emotions. There's two places in the scripture that touch my heart in relationship to the emotions of Jesus. And in John chapter 11, in relationship to the time that Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, in three different places, it mentions the intensity of the human emotions that Jesus experienced. Verse 33, it says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." That groaning in the spirit is a description of that intense human emotion that's beyond words and beyond expression. And then one of the most tenderest verses of the nature of Jesus in all the Bible, in relationship to his humanity, is John 11, verse 35, which says Jesus wept. And the term for wept in the Greek means to convulse. He poured out his tears. Then also in verse 38, it says, "Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb." So again, that deep emotion that Jesus experienced. Also in John chapter 12, in verse 27, in Jesus speaking about his death on the cross, he says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. So Jesus experienced a troubling on the inside when he was thinking about the cross and the difficulty that would bring and the humility and the shame that that would bring upon him. This word troubled, the Greek term terasso, was used to describe strong human emotion. It was used to describe the disciples when they saw Jesus walking on the water and thought he was a ghost in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26. It also is used to describe the fact King Herod was troubled when he saw the wise men show up in Matthew 2 verse 3. Also, the time Zechariah encountered an angel who suddenly showed up at the temple in Luke chapter 1 verse 12. The same term is used. So it's used to describe a strong human emotion. Jesus experienced those. Also, other emotions that Jesus experienced, he marveled at the faith of the centurion in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10. He wept at the sorrow of Lazarus' death in John 11 verse 35. Then also Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, he prayed with tears and cries, which reads this way, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus experienced the full range of human emotions that we also experience. The fifth line of proof is pretty simple, that people near him saw that he was only a man. A good reference to this is Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58, and really a myriad of references from the Gospels could have been used. But the people, as they encountered him, saw a mere man. The sixth line of proof is that after his resurrection, Jesus Christ continued to be a man. Although in a resurrected, glorified body, he was still the God-man. And in John chapter 20, verses 25 through 27, he showed the nail prints that were in his hands. In Luke 24, 39, describes him as having flesh and bones. In Luke 24, verses 41 through 42, he ate food. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, Jesus still appears as one like the Son of Man. And also important passage in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, when John saw him in heaven, he describes him this way. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. So here, as John was in the midst of heaven, that eternal glory, he saw the lamb as though it had been slain. And this phrase, as though it had been slain, is the term to be slaughtered. So John saw the lamb as if it had been slaughtered. Many would see from this reference that even in the eternal glory, even in the eternal heavens, Jesus Christ will continue to bear the marks of his crucifixion. And one time a man asked me the riddle of what are the only man-made things in heaven, and I couldn't figure it out. He said, well, it's in the scripture. And he finally shared with me the answer, that it was the holes that man made in the body of Jesus Christ through the crucifixion. And it appears that Jesus Christ will bear these marks at all eternity. So can you imagine this? As you're standing there in heaven in the presence of God, in all the glory and all the worship, and you're going to be there forever, and you look over at Jesus and you see him as a lamb that has been slaughtered, that's going to be a continual reminder to you that the only reason you are there in God's presence is because of what Jesus Christ has done, that God became a man, took on that human body, and then went to the cross and died in your place and in my place. Oh, what worship that'll provoke as we're standing in the presence of the lamb that had been slaughtered on our behalf. And as I've offered you the proof today that Jesus Christ was truly human, in our next study we'll look at why this was necessary for the Lord himself to take on this human body. And one passage you may want to look at until then is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, which is seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So right now, presently, we have a high priest in heaven that could represent us and could sympathize with our weaknesses because he was here. What a wonderful truth that is. Then when we get to heaven, we'll see that lamb who has been slaughtered, and we'll worship him throughout all eternity because he's the one that's deserving of all praise, honor, and glory.